Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Donnie Football in for Joe Starkey and Paul Zeiss today, taking you up until 2 o'clock. Chris Muller has the reins after that. He will be live at Rivers Casino from 2 until 6. So over halfway through this voyage today, and we go out to the fan hotline right now, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. That is where we find longtime baseball scribe John Parrotto from Pittsburgh Baseball Now. John, City Limits and I just had a fun little exercise last hour where if I put him in charge of all four of the major sports as the commissioner, what changes he would make. So for baseball, is the obvious one and the one that we both agreed upon, is it the salary cap and floor?
I would like to see that. I used to be a proponent of I like kind of the free market deal, and I know the players certainly do because, you know, that drives up the salaries. But, yeah, it's to the point now where something has to be done with the salary floor too, because you just have some teams that just don't want to spend at all. And I think if there were a floor and a cap, that it would certainly at least – I don't know if you'd ever had total parity in baseball, but I think it would even things out more. And it would force teams who don't spend to at least try to spend and try to put a competitive product on the field year after year.
Now, to tie into that a little bit, I know that you had a piece come out earlier this week. The relationship between Bob Nutting and Ben Cherington doesn't seem to be in the greatest setting as of right now.
Yeah, I wouldn't call it bad at this point, but I do think it was they were surprised when Bob Nutting came out on June 21st when he the day the Pirates announced their partnership with Sheetz for the patch on the sleeves of the jerseys, that he basically implied, if he did not say outright, but he implied that they would do what it takes within reason to try to put a contending team on the field, add to the if they could, if they were in contention in July, which they are, they're still within striking distance of the wild card, that they would do what they could to upgrade the offense. But I've had two people in the front office tell me that was not the case, and they were surprised and they were a little upset that they were basically told there was no money left after they'd spent. And I mean, in fairness, they did spend some money in the offseason, and they signed Mitch Keller in spring training to the extension, but that was pretty much it, unless they were able to move some people, some players that had some salary to offset whatever type of salary they would bring back in a trade. And that kind of frustrated some of the front office people.
Pirates are 44 and 48 as of right now. They are still in the conversation, in the thick of things in the NL wildcard race. Their playoff odds are just over 7%. As we are just about 3 weeks away, less than 3 weeks away from the MLB trade deadline, what strategy do you anticipate the Pirates taking?
I don't see them making big additions. I really don't. And I could be totally wrong, because the thing about the July, Donnie, is the trade deadline is so fluid from day to day, even hour to hour sometimes, on who's talking to who and how aggressively teams decide to pursue players or maybe have a couple of losses and all of a sudden think our chances are worse and back off. But if I were to predict how this is going to go, I don't think they're going to make a big addition, even if they can. And the reason I say that, because they really have not gained any traction this season since they started out 9-2. You know, they win a couple, they lose a couple, they win a couple, they lose a couple. They need to go on a winning streak, and they need to do it pretty soon. They need to rip off 5 or 6 games in a row to get back up, you know, to even with the rest of the wild card leaders, and then put themselves in position, hopefully for them, their sake, to take off the final 2 months. So I really think it's going to depend on how they do here, you know, even these next couple days before the break, and then coming out of the break, they have a homestand with Philly and St. Louis. So as of now, if they just keep kind of spinning their wheels like they have for so long, I don't think they're going to be a big buyer.
Last season, we know that they started out hot. They were one of the best teams in baseball through the first month of the season. They were 20-8, and then they hit a lot of dry spells. They had a terrible next couple of months that came in 2023. This year, it's been different. They had the hot start out of the first 10 games or so, first dozen games, and then it really has been a middling when it comes to what their splits have been. I think at worst they've gone like 3-7 over a 10-game span, but at best they've gone 6-4. They've mostly been a team that has been 5-5 the whole way through. When you look at the two seasons together, the entirety of 2023, the first half plus of 2024, is there one that's maybe more frustrating than the other? Like, I felt like last year, given how they started, left a more frustrating taste in my mouth.
Yeah, I would agree with that, Donnie. I mean, you know, the fans are starved. I mean, you know, you're from Pittsburgh. You're a Pittsburgher. Fans are starved for a winning team, and they want people want the Pirates to do well. And I mean, when they do well, you look back to 2013, 14, and 15, people care. They come to the ballpark, they follow the games, they listen to the games on the radio, watch the games on television, and people really want the Pirates to do well. And that was the frustrating part, because they got the hopes up so high early in the year, like you said, 20-8 start, and then everything just plummeted. So I would say last year was more frustrating. This season's been frustrating too, in a way, but not to that degree. The frustrating part is kind of two steps forward, two steps back. And you know, I forget who made this observation to me recently and said, the toughest thing to do is be a fan of a 500 team, because you're kind of good and you're kind of bad. Where if you root for a really good team, when you have a bad week and lose 5 out of 7, it's like, well, that's okay. We have a good team. It's no big deal. Or if you have a terrible team and you win like 4 out of 6, you don't get excited, because you know this is really a terrible team and they're not going to win many games. And that's been the thing with the Pirates. They look at times, Donnie, like they really could be a good, competitive, contending team. And then other days, like last night, they turn around and they look like they're the worst team in baseball.
One of the key frustrating pieces I feel this year, and I think a lot of people would agree with me, I think he's at least on the medal stand when it comes to disappointments in 2024, is Ke'Bryan Hayes. Another 0-for last night, although the team as a whole only had 4 hits in the game. But he's hitting just .229, his on base is .287, his slugging is only .296, his OPS is only .583, that's one of the worst on the team, and his OPS plus is .67. What has happened here with Ke'Bryan Hayes? And now there's even thought of, should the Pirates consider finding a deal involving Ke'Bryan Hayes? Like, how has this gotten to this point with him?
You know, it's been a combination of a lot of things, like it usually is when a player struggles like this. I still believe that he has back issues that are more serious than he's letting on, or I don't think the Pirates are covering up. I'll say this about T. Bryan, and he's a tough kid. I know he's quiet. I know he's soft-spoken, but he's a really, really tough guy. And I think I think he tries to play through this back injury probably when he shouldn't. And I think part of it is that he just feels obligated to be out there every day for the team. But I've got to believe the back has to be a factor, especially he's only hit two home runs. And when you can't drive the ball, usually that's the sign there's some kind of injury when you just consistently can't drive the ball. Sometimes you go in a slump and you don't hit for power, but this has been all year. And frankly, it came out last year that he went to visit with John Nunnally, who was then the double-A hitting coach at Altoona, kind of clandestinely. And to me, that's a pretty big sign that him and Andy Haynes just don't click, the Pirates hitting coach. And he's so quiet that I don't get to see, and he keeps things to himself. But I almost have that feeling that if the Pirates did indeed call him tomorrow morning and say, hey, we're trading you to wherever, I'm not so sure he'd be upset about it at this point, because it just seems like this marriage is not working between the Pirates and Hayes, and it's not like it's really acrimonious. It just isn't panning out.
I can't believe I'm asking this, but when it comes to the guy that is basically viewed as his backup, he does have position versatility on the infield. How much of a gap is there between Hayes and Jared Triolo as players?
Well, I think Hayes, when right, is a better hitter than Triolo. But I will say this, and this is a high compliment to Jared Triolo, because Ke'Bryan Hayes can play the heck out of third base. That gold glove he won was well-deserved last year, and he should have won more than one so far in his career. But Jared Triolo is pretty darn good, too, over at third base. And I don't think defensively that it would be a big drop-off if you played Jared Triolo every day. I still have faith that Ke'Bryan Hayes would be a good big league hitter and probably end up better career-wise hitting than Triolo. But at this point, again, even offensively, as much as Key has struggled here, I don't know if it's a whole heck of a lot of a drop-off to Triolo at this point.
Talking to John Parrotto, baseball scribe from Pittsburgh Baseball Now here on 93.7 The Fan. John, another Paul Skeen start today. He has been as advertised and then some. He's 5-0, just under 69 innings of work for, or just under 60 innings of work for him. 78 strikeouts, only 12 walks. The ERA is 2.12. The Pirates have won 7 of the 10 games that he has pitched in so far this year. He is a massive star already, and I hope that Major League Baseball has picked up on that. He has made history. He's the first overall pick one season to be named an all-star the very next season. Should they even take it a step further? Should he start the all-star game for the National League on Tuesday?
I think they should consider it, and I know it's a kind of a tricky situation here for Major League Baseball, because there have been guys who have been, everyone else has been in the big leagues all year on that pitching staff. And if you look at the entire body of work, there are probably guys who deserve it more just for the fact that they've started more games, pitched more innings. But the All-Star Game's about entertainment, Donnie, and Paul Skeens is a big, big name in baseball right now, and not just here in Pittsburgh, but nationally. People are making a big deal about him, and people want to see him. And I think Major League Baseball, and I know it'll be unconventional, but I think that I would start him. You're only the way the All-Star Game works now. The starter used to pitch three innings. Now everybody pitches one inning. Hardly anyone ever even pitches two innings. So it wouldn't be like they would be messing the Pirates up for a couple of weeks if they pitch Skeens three innings. And I think they should, because from a publicity value, people want to see this guy, and not just in Pittsburgh, but nationally. And here's your chance, if you're Major League Baseball, to showcase a kid who has done something unprecedented going from being drafted number one year to being in the All-Star game the next. And I think if I'm Major League Baseball and I'm Rob Manfred and I'm the PR people in MLB, I want to showcase this guy, and the best way to showcase him is to start him.
John, you have been covering baseball for a long time. You have seen a lot of very good and great players. 10 starts in, I know it's a little bit premature. Where does Paul Skenes rank for you out of, you know, I guess, projectable players? Like, where you think he could possibly end up? Do you think he is in the pantheon of, we could be looking at a potential future Hall of Famer here, all-time great, or do you think we're a little bit premature now?
I'm always hesitate and kind of go the conservative route on players when they come up. But, you know, this guy he had a huge amount of hype coming when he got caught up to the big leagues on May 11th. He somehow, some way exceeded that hype. I mean, he's been better, I think, than even the most optimistic fan thought he was going to be. And, you know, and I hate this, and I certainly hope it doesn't come back to haunt me someday for Paul Skenes' sake after 10 starts, but he has the look of the kind. He has Hall of Fame talent, let's put it that way, and he seems to have a very good head on his shoulders, so I don't think that he'll make missteps off the field or get, you know, kind of get lazy or you know, drunk on success. So yeah, I think you know, and again, he's a long, long way from being a Hall of Famer career-wise, but he certainly has the talent and the mindset to be a great pitcher.
John Parrotto, baseball scribe from Pittsburgh Baseball Now, Pirates and Brewers at 2:10 this afternoon. John, it should be a good ball game. Do you think the Buccos come away with 2 out of 3 in Milwaukee?
Well, Skenes is their good luck charm, and like you said, it should be a good ball game. So I like the Pirates' chances whenever Skenes pitch, that's for sure.
John, thanks for taking the time.
My pleasure, Donnie. Thanks for having me.
There we go. John Parrotto from Pittsburgh Baseball Now. He is, and I like a lot of the guys that cover baseball in this town. Big fan of Jason Mackey, Destiny's Child, Andrew Destin, Noah Hiles, obviously. I love any time I get a chance to chat with John Parrotto. He is a real veteran in the field. And I think he is an all-time straight shooter, what we get from John Parrotto. He joined us on the Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Coming up, we will digest a little bit of what John talked about while he joined us. Also, what should the Pirates do? What should their strategy be as we approach the 2024 trade deadline? Limits and I will get into that coming up in just a few.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
A few minutes. Another thank you to John Parrotto from Pittsburgh Baseball Now for taking the time. Jeff Hathorn coming up in just over 20 minutes time. It's Donnie Football in for the Joe Starkey, Paul Zeiss experience. I think that's a good title because that's what it is with those two, an experience. Limits behind the glass. I mean, you are the full-time producer for them now. I mean, those are two wild animals that you have to keep in a cage in here.
I experience it every day, and the experience varies by day. You never know sometimes what you're going to get, but you know you're going to get a couple of good Paul rants.
You get Paul? Do you have like one queued up? I saw you looking at the computer in there.
Do I have one queued up, Donnie?
You're such an insignificant person. You're such a loser. You're such a clown that sits in your basement and yells, "Mom, the meatloaf! Mom, the meatloaf!" all day long. You're such a loser. I have no interest in anything you have to say for the rest of your life. That's what you're doing when you block somebody.
Mom, the meatloaf. That sent me over the edge.
Wait, so did he get blocked or he blocked somebody
this
else?
This was yesterday. That's why he's delivered this rant. He was talking to Kabali about how there were a lot of people that were commenting under Zeiss's report about Taylor Ward potentially being a trade option for the Pirates and that it was a close deal. And people were saying, like, "Oh, Zeiss, you're just lying," because Robert Murray came out and said, "No, it's not close," or anything like that. Mm-hmm. So Zeiss was talking about how if somebody comes after him and attacks him, he will block them because they're people that just, you know, sit there and just try to troll him. And like Charles Barkley says it best.
Yeah.
With the draws
with
on.
With your draws on. Man, as early as, or as recently as yesterday from Zeiss, that's a good one too. A classic from number seven. Number seven had a whole lot of classics in that hopper. Yeah, the Zeiss rants are always wild, and then you never really know from Joe, I feel, what you're going to get. You're going to get very chipper Joe. Maybe he golfed a very good game that morning. Maybe he's going out to a nice course or a country club that afternoon, and he's got a little extra pep in his step.
Or he has way too much coffee the morning of, and he's bouncing off the walls, Joe, with a ton of energy.
Yeah, I mean, you're definitely working with an experience there.
Source with the question marks, immediate block. Period. Gone. Don't even care what you have to say. Gone. If you use stick to, gone. Right? If you use you're an idiot, gone. You're like some of these people, you're lying, gone. I don't even care who you are. You're gone.
Gone.
You could put
fantastic
tape on your mouth for the rest of your life because I have no interest in anything you have to say.
This was all in like a 10-minute span.
They don't understand journalism. They don't understand. They obviously don't understand trades. They don't understand trade rumors. They don't understand any of that stuff.
My favorite is
source with the question marks, immediate block.
Source.
Yeah, that's a good one. Stick to is one that's like so annoying whenever people bring it up.
Yeah, stick to sports. Like stick to football, Kabali.
Yeah,
but this.
I mean, I get plenty stick to footballs. Like if I put out a Paul Skeens take earlier about the All-Star game, stick to football.
Because you're Donnie Football. You only know football.
Block,
you don't know anything else.
Period. Final.
You're such an insignificant person. You're such a loser. You're such a clown that sits in your basement and yells, "Mom, the meatloaf! Mom, the meatloaf!" all day long. You're such a loser. I have no interest in anything you have to say for the rest of your life. That's what you're doing when you block somebody.
Where does Mom the Meatloaf come from?
Yo, you don't know that reference.
No, I don't.
Oh, brother.
Oh, man.
I hope IT knows it. I don't know if he's back there. So that comes from Wedding Crashers.
Yeah, that would explain it. Never seen the movie.
Oh, man. I mean, I know we're separated by, what, five-ish years, five-plus years. Because I was October of 95, and you were, what, spring of 01?
Yes.
So that movie came out in 05. I was only 9 or 10 years old. Not one that my mother was very happy that I saw uncut right away, but, you know, my dad didn't really care. He was just, like, the cool dad who let me watch pretty much any movie I wanted to. But there are certainly things that kids should not see or hear in that movie. I'll just put that out there. It's a comedy with Vince Vaughn and Owen Wilson. And as you could probably guess by the title, they are just two dudes that crash weddings throughout the, like, Washington, D.C. area. And one of the, I guess you could say, cameos, one of the best and funniest cameos in recent movie history, you get about 10 minutes of Will Ferrell in that movie. And from what I recall, you don't see his name pop up in the credits at the beginning. So the first time you ever watch that movie, and now I'm kind of spoiling it for you, but it is about 20 years old, so you should be, it's on you at this point, Limits. You hit a point in the movie where there's just like a mysterious figure, and you're like, oh, who could this be? And out walks Will Ferrell. And he lives with his mother. His character's name is Chaz. He lives with his mother. Owen Wilson is visiting him. He offers Owen Wilson food, and then he just yells up, Ma, the meatloaf!
It's almost as great as when all the Spider-Men appear in the last Spider-Man movie.
I think it's a top five funniest movie of the 2000s.
It's going to be absolutely incrinculant, Falsey.
Well, he definitely hasn't seen that movie. I know Jolie hasn't
seen
it.
Has Joel seen it?
No. Yeah, no shot. Joel, maybe scenes here and there. But yeah, that's where Ma the Meatloaf comes from. So I highly recommend you try to find a way to watch Wedding Crashers. And find the real version. You don't want to watch it on TV because it's so watered down and it's no fun at that point. I guess a little bit of fun, but not really fun, if you catch my drift there. 412-928-9370. If you want to join the conversation. Coming up, we will get into some of the reason for that rant of Paul Zeiss yesterday. Who are some names the Pirates may be interested in as we get close to the trade deadline? Will they even do anything at the trade deadline? Will they get to the point where they have to be sellers at the trade deadline? 412-928-9370. We will talk about that coming up next. Jeff Hathorn at the top of the hour. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge on Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Donnie Football in for Joe Starkey and Paul Zeiss until 2. This show flying by. I was talking to my guy, City Limits, behind the glass, Austin Bechtold, who is now the full-time producer for the Starkey and Zeiss Experience. This show just flying by. We're already down to our final hour and change. We will end things today with Text in the City. I know that is Joe's new favorite segment. Austin says we have some nice text messages coming in, although one of them not very happy about fumbling the football out of the end zone that he shared with me during one of the breaks. So we'll have that to finish up the show today. Jeff Hathorn joins us in about 10 to 15 minutes time. What got Paul Zeiss off on that rant yesterday? Well, he put out a tweet, a report of what he was hearing, that the Pirates were in pursuit of Angels outfielder Taylor Ward. Now, Ward, a player this season, 89 games, 14 home runs, 44 ribbies, hitting .235, on base of .320, slugging .413. The OPS is .733, OPS plus of .104. You see that get put out there by anybody reputable like Paul, and I'm thinking, okay, well, hopefully there's some legs to this, because that would be interesting. And I'll say this. I will say this because a few people have debunked what Paul put out there. Robert Murray, one of those people at the national level. Noah Hiles with the Post-Gazette later came out and mentioned that the Pirates have told him, the front office people have told him, that they have, you know, sort of gotten initial interest, but they are not in hot pursuit of that player. I'll say this about what Paul said. I definitely trust that he had someone give him that info that he believes in, that he has trust in. And I'm sure the Pirates have made phone calls about a player like Taylor Ward. But the question comes with how in are they really with the player? So I know that yesterday you guys got a lot of response to this, Austin. I know that Paul, obviously going off on his tangent, was not happy with some of the responses that he got, people just kind of calling him out as if he pulled it out of thin air. I do believe there's interest in the player, but the debate comes with how strong is that interest actually with Taylor Ward. I mean, it's like you see guys joke about it. Do you have interest in Taylor Ward? Well, I could have interest in Sydney Sweeney, but it takes two to tango here. Like, you got to wonder how strong is that connection between the two sides.
Sydney Sweeney's not hitting your line at all? No phone calls?
I'm a taken man.
That's
limits.
Right. She knows that. That's why you're not getting any phone calls. Now, I mean, you're right on the takes two to tango thing. And it seemed like, you know, Paul was saying how they're very interested in it. There could potentially be a move there. I'm sure they've inquired on probably seven or eight other guys. And that's what I think Noah Hiles, Alex Stump, and a lot of the beat writers put out, that they're interested in Taylor Ward, yes, but no deal is close. Robert Murray of FanSided said that as well. But the interest is definitely there. And it's also good to see a name come out that the Pirates are interested with control, and it shows that they're actively trying to be buyers, even if they ultimately might also be sellers with a couple of pieces like Martin Perez, Aroldis Chapman, maybe Marco Gonzalez if he gets back and can throw a couple of games. I don't know what you could get for Perez after the last couple of performances that he's had. He had the one really good one at home, I think on the 4th of July, but it shows that they're active and they're willing to make a move. They're at least having the conversations, which I guess is a good starting point.
Yeah, I mean, and a player like Ward, I think, absolutely makes the team better as a whole. I mean, a player with an OPS plus of over 100, and he's actually done that in each of his last four seasons, if you include right now. However, he is somebody who's basically been either an injured or part-time player through his first 7 years in the league. He's also already 30 years old, but I think in a way I don't mind that, because I don't think a price tag for somebody of his stature will be super high. Already a 30-year-old outfielder, he does have some other versatility, and he's somebody who will hit around 20 home runs if he plays most of the season. He has 14 right now. He had 14 last year. The most games he's played, and the only time he's played triple-digit games, he played 135 games 2 years ago. He hit 23 home runs, knocked in 65, OPS of 833. His OPS plus was 134. You add something like that to a Pirates lineup who absolutely needs a jolt. Sure, not the biggest name at the deadline. You're not going to get Luis Robert Jr., but I would be satisfied with somebody of his stature, like somebody of his ilk. Maybe it's not the exact player. Maybe it's somebody that just fits that mold. But let's say for his sake, him being an example here, 30-year-old outfielder, you fix a lot of offensive problems. I'm not even worried what his defensive caliber is. We talked about Sawinski being a bad defensive player along with a bad offensive player earlier. They're already playing that guy. We're playing Michael A. Taylor every single day. We see him in the lineup, I would say, 5 or 6 days out of the week. Ward would be an instant upgrade to multiple outfield positions, depending on where you wanted to put him, besides Brian Reynolds.
He would be tied for second on the team in home runs and would be second behind Brian Reynolds in RBIs. I mean, you instantly add a guy who's productive and more productive than almost everyone on the team this year and just stick him in right field. He'll be fine defensively. He's a bat that you can add for the next couple of years, and it also lengthens the lineup a little bit. That's a huge problem with this team. 7, 8, 9 hitters are usually automatic outs, other than, I mean, maybe they'll combine to go 2 for 10 or 1 for 11. Who knows? So it gives you the opportunity to move a couple of guys down too, and more protection for guys like Brian Reynolds and O'Neal Cruz, as well as McCutchen at the top.
Yeah, so, and again, given his age, I don't think it would be, oh, well, we want multiple top prospects of yours back in return. Like, I think it would be relatively light.
Well, and that's because you're trading for a guy who the production's there, but the talent in the ceiling isn't there compared to a Vlad Guerrero, Luis Robert, any big name that's on the market right now who's going to attract so much because of the potential that they have. Ward, the ceiling isn't that high, but he's still a productive guy that drives in runs and is kind of underrated. And that's the type of guy that the Pirates are best at acquiring and should try to acquire.
Yeah, I mean, I think really he's a player that would, I think a lot of people would say he has already hit his ceiling. I would think that if 2022 was his best year, you know, that's a nice season to put together. 135 games, you hit 23 bombs, you knocked in 65 runs, you hit 281, and your OPS was over 830. The OPS plus was over 130. That's a nice single season. That might be his peak. I mean, he could come in here and basically be an older and also lighter version of Brian Reynolds, like an under-the-radar outfielder that will give you solid production. You know, he won't be a superstar by any means, but somebody that can definitely produce and bring some much-needed offense to this lineup. The other name I wanted to bring up quickly, Austin, who is available as we get close to the trade deadline, somebody who does have maybe a higher trajectory when it comes to potential, that's Jazz Chisholm. Now, his numbers are actually pretty similar to what Ward has done this season. They both have an identical OPS plus of 104. His OPS, 739 on the season. He's hitting 256, 11 homers, already 18 stolen bases. So he has a chance to be like a 2020 caliber player, which are the goals and then some for somebody like, say, O'Neill Cruz. He's only 26. And again, somebody with some positional versatility, but the price might be a little bit higher in terms of return for a Jazz Chisholm.
Former guy that was on MLB The Show just a couple of years ago. The injuries have always been there with Jazz Chisholm. He's missed a lot of games.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember who it was that came on the show and said it to us, but it seems like the book is out on Jazz Chisholm. He is an inconsistent player who gets hurt, plays a pretty good center field and can hit, but he's not a superstar. He's not a star. He's just a very good player. And there's a fine line between very good player and star. And that might be beneficial for the Pirates in terms of what you have to give up to get him.
Yeah, he's another player who has only once played over 100 games. He did that back in 21, 124 games that year, 18 home runs, 23 stolen bases. He hit 248. So I know that not identical careers, but stacking up the best seasons of Jazz Chisholm and Taylor Ward to this point, Ward has had the better individual season. And honestly, I think given all of the different boxes to check here, I think Ward would be a player that I would be actually more excited about if it's just this year or in the near future. Chisholm is somebody you would go for, pay a higher price to, and then hope that this guy becomes a much better player. And I'm not saying that they will get either one. I'm not even saying they are hot and heavy interested in either one. Those are just two of the names that have got thrown around the last couple of days. Jeff Hathorn joins us in a few moments. We will chat it up about this series in Milwaukee. Also, the Pirates and Brewers getting set for action this afternoon. So Paul Skenes on the mound for Pittsburgh. He is a conversation alone that we will continue as the final hour of this show moves on.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with GameTip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.